Okay, everybody excited about, have y'all noticed we're having some light issues here? I don't mean to bring attention to it, but these lights are not working. But our God is. So I'm just letting you know. That's how you just kind of put a positive on that. Excited about what's going on here. Please be sure to remember these important items that we share in our Crosspoint news. And by the way, in case you miss some of these or wonder about these as you leave and say, well, I don't remember what that announcement was about, you can actually go onto our website and you can pull up these announcements each and every week. Actually, what you do is just click on where for the message of that day, and there on that same page with the message of that day's message, you'll find the information that you just saw, and you can rewatch the whole thing again. So just want to point that out, and want to be sure and be involved and be a part. And you know, you always get a big yell out when we talk about small groups, and I'm just going to brag on mine right now, because I mean, mine starts at 6 a.m. Spiritual people have breakfast at 6 a.m. Just letting you know. And I got a group of guys that have been meeting at Shoney's over on North Tryon at 6 a.m. Did I say 6 a.m.? 6 a.m. Yeah. From 6 to 7. And we've been having 100% retention. We had 7 the first week, 7 the next week. We would have had 7, but one of our guys pulled an all-nighter that night and was up doing architectural stuff. But anyway, I'm just so... And then our ladies actually met this past week at a Mexican restaurant. Did I say that right? And just had a great time. And so I'm just so excited. And by the way, if we don't have the kind of group you like, start one. It all, you know, it's free market. So we're not deciding what kind of groups. We're letting you decide that. So you're really the determining factor as to what kind of groups we have. And we'd love for you to start one. You can see Pastor Steve, and he can get you trained in how to lead a group. And so anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. Shout out to all the group leaders, small group leaders, and the phenomenal job you all are doing. Let's jump right into the message today. If you have your worship guide, you can pull out your message notes and follow along. We've got a lot to cover today. And I think really, honestly, it's going to be a refreshing topic. And we're going to just kind of broaden this out a little bit, the first part of this message, to really kind of once again, emphasize, I believe, what the Lord has really given us this year. There was a message in our series last month that we talked about in being free indeed, and that particular installment was Shut the Door. I don't know about you, but that really has helped me in understanding really three areas that the enemy comes at us, and we're just kind of really just solidifying this message, and I believe it really is going to make a difference. One of the things that we talked about coming into this new year was that God's given us a clean slate. But don't you know that even with that, the enemy tries to come back in, but he only tries to come in three areas. And if we'll guard ourselves in that area and we'll get free of those areas and we will continue to follow God, the true God, and not false gods, I'm telling you, our life will be forever changed. And so I want to jump right in. This type of year actually is a season which we talk about, and it's a good time to talk about relationships, about marriage, about life in general, dating, sex, money, I mean, just life. But in this series, I wanted to see that there's really three topics we want to talk about. Last week, we actually laid down, or the first week, I should say, an introduction, a framework of the topics of these three areas. And this scripture we gave, I want to look at this again in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul is talking to the church of Corinth. And the church of Corinth very much relates to us as a church in America, because in that city, it was full of intellectuals that felt like, you know, they knew it all, had it all going on. They were experiencing financial prosperity, and yet there was very much a moral corruptness going on. And so Paul was saying, you know, there's the world's way, there's the city of Corinth's way, but then there's God's way, and God's way is best. Look at 1 Corinthians again, chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So they're saying, hey, this is 2016, that's old-fashioned, we're progressive now, we don't, that's old school. You need to learn things in a new way. And so, and they're laughing at you as Christians, saying, well, that's just silliness. And yet, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For those of us experiences, it's freed us. It's saved our life. Everything's new. We've understand it. We've experienced it. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent, I will frustrate. So in other words, their way really doesn't work. They only end up frustrated following their ways. And he says, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? So if you think, hey, you're smart, you know, you're going to redefine family, you're going to redefine marriage, you're going to redefine morality, you're going to redefine finances, you know, this is 2016, we're progressive, we're moving on, this is the right way, you need to follow this, go with the flow. And it said, what he's saying here is God is just going to frustrate you. You're just going to end up frustrated. The fact of the matter is that just doesn't work. The world's way does not work. And here's the assurance, and that is they'll be back, because studies prove that the world's way doesn't work. All you end up with is drama, chaos, frustration, turmoil. But in every way, we are not, as a society, gaining ground. We're losing ground. And so drop down to verse 25 of that chapter. It says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. So on the surface, it doesn't look like it works. It works. It looks like it's outdated. But I just want to challenge you today, and that is each and every one of us, we need to look at our life, look at the important areas of our life, and don't buy into the world's way. And oftentimes, unfortunately, the church has been polluted by the world's way. These ideas and philosophies of the world have crept into the church oftentimes, because studies show some of the statistics of the world, divorce and all these different areas, are the same in the church as they are in the world, and we've bought into a lie. But God's way works. So here's what I want us to see as this morning, and that's that you're in an intersection, okay? We're at an intersection, and so I want to encourage you and challenge you to choose the right way. There's God's way, or there is the world's way. And so I want to encourage us to make good choices. In week one, we talked about ancient family, not modern family. Not, well, you know, this is the new family, this is reality, you just need to go with the flow. No, we need to come back to God's way and be an ancient family. We looked at that. And looking at it really in this series in three areas, in finances, and we talked about that last week. And then we're also going to talk about it today, about the pace of life, our time. And also next week we're going to talk about immorality. We're going to talk about sex, okay? And so, as I've said every week, put this disclaimer out there every week, this is a PG-13. If you have young kids, avail yourself of Crosspoint Kids. If your kids are 12 years and up, you need to have them in here on the front row, because the world is feeding people a lie, okay? And we're going to set the record straight, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be good. The Bible has a lot to say about it. So let's look at these. I want to talk about three big areas, though. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says this: do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. In other words, don't follow what's happening around you. Don't be listening to just what happens around the world. For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God. So when we start following the world's ways and doing things, it arouses the jealousy in God, because he loves us, he cares for us. And that is a healthy kind of jealousy. He wants what's best for us. And so, and then verse 16 of chapter 11 of Deuteronomy says, be careful. So that's, as a pastor, I'm saying that to us as a church, be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. So in Scripture, there's really three main gods that Scripture talks about. Through the Old Testament, even also it's shown even in the New Testament, there's really three main gods. And some of this may be a little repeat of that installment in the last series, but some of you may have missed that. I want to just really nail this down. We really need to understand this. And the first god is the god of Mammon. Mammon, okay? And so the god of Mammon, it's also the god of possessions. Mammon is also the god of possessions. So we talked about that last week. in our money, there's a spirit of the world on that or the spirit of God on that. And mammon tries to replace God with lies. Well, if you just had more, if you had this, if you had that, if you had, you know, if you had more money in the bank, if you had then, and it replaces God, saying that that's your source and that's your supply. That's not the case. And then there's the God of Baal, or the God of power. Baal. Many of you may have heard this in Scripture as you read Scripture, the God of Baal. Well, the word Baal actually literally means master. It means master or control. It's the God of power or attainment, position or status. In fact, not only just the God of power, you could say the God of self-power. Self-power. It manifests itself best in how you spend your time. So look at this. Mammon, if you look at it this way, mammon looks at how you spend your money. Baal plays into how you spend your time. And so it's that being consumed with achievement or power or position, and I've just got to work more and I've got to make it happen. I've got to get that status and that position. And so there's been this attitude of being consume with this, and say, well, how do you know that's true, Pastor, that we have that going on in this society? Well, studies, statistics show that the average father spends 7 minutes a day with his kids. And he spends 4 minutes a day with his spouse. And he spends 3 minutes a day in prayer with God, and that is if he's a Christian. And the same study shows that the average father spends 8.6 hours at work. Some of you are thinking, I've probably spent a lot more than that, aren't you? Yeah. And yet, and that same study shows that 62% of Americans, 62% are self-identifying themselves as being burned out, being burned out. And I know some of you are about ready to raise your hand. Yeah, that's me, you know. So we look at this, what's going on? We have frustrated ourselves buying into the world's philosophy of how to live life and the wisdom of this world. Let me give you another word for mammon, and that would be the word greed. You can write this down somewhere in your notes. Mammon, another word for that would be, it would manifest itself as greed. And for Baal, another word for Baal would be the word pride. Pride says, I can do it. I can do it. I mean, I just got to put more hours in. If I can just work one more hour, and I don't need God, I just need to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. That's kind of a phrase we have in our society, and to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, and I just got to work this thing out. And I'm not preaching laziness, but what I am saying is there's this attitude sometimes that we're the ones that make it happen. If I just work hard, if I can just push the right buttons, I mean, as a pastor, I have fallen into this myself. Oh, if I could just do more, work more, give more, serve more of me, and yet there is a pride involved in that, because I've heard scholars say that all workaholics have a seed of pride in them. All workaholics have a seed of pride in them. I mean, if you're at work and you're thinking when you're at work, I should be at home, or if you're at home and you're thinking, I should be at work, or perhaps you're one that says, well, I'll be there, but I'll be a few minutes late, you know, or I'll come, but I'll have to leave early. If you find yourself regularly saying that, it may be that you have been buying into the lie of Baal, the god of power, and that's controlling your life. Here's a third one, and that is, and we'll talk about this one next week, Asherah, which is the god of pleasure. And so this is the god of fertility. It's the fertility gods. It's the sex gods that they, in fact, in those days, in biblical days, they worshiped through temple prostitution. And it's this philosophy that says, well, if it feels good, just do it. I mean, don't follow your morals, just follow your body. I mean, if you want it, do it. I mean, if there's two consenting adults and that are consenting and it's pleasurable to them. So why not? And so what you're saying is that morals doesn't matter, but pleasure does. And you're led by your senses. And that's the God of Asherah lying to you. You say, well, this is Old Testament stuff. This is, I'm going to tell you that it may be that those same gods are prevalent even in our world today. In fact, I think so. So last week we talked about breaking the spirit of mammon. Well, next week we're going to talk about breaking the spirit of Asherah. Today we're talking about breaking the spirit of Baal. And so I want to take us back to Genesis chapter 3 again, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And I want you to see where all these three gods show up in Scripture. We're going to begin back in Genesis. And look at what it says here. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree, that it was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And so look at this, what is being said here. She's looked, first of all, said it's good for food, Asherah, right? It's for my body, whatever my body likes. That's what I'm going after, all right? And then secondly, she says it's pleasing to the eye, mammon. There's the god of mammon. Well, you know, it's just, if I see it, I want it. You know, I just want that thing. Whatever I see, I'm going after that, and so I need more. And then there's this phrase, desirable for gaining wisdom. And there's Baal. Pride, if I can just be better. In fact, it's all about me. It's about me being empowered and me working more so I can be more powerful. So there's that spirit of Baal. And so, well, that's Old Testament, all right? Let's look at New Testament. Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. Remember when Jesus was being, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights before he began his ministry. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Then the devil took him to the holy city, and he had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. Come on, just let him know you're the man. Throw yourself down. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor and said, all this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. So let's break this down. Turn the stones into bread. Who is that? That's the god of Asherah. Asherah, just whatever feels good for me, right? And then throw yourself down. Come on, they'll know that you're the man. You throw yourself down. And he goes on to even quote and twist Scripture from Psalm 91 that the angels will bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone, he said to him, right? And then you're not going to get hurt. Angels are going to swoop down and protect you, and they're going to say, you're the man, right? So there's the pride. And then all this I will give you, there it is, the god of mammon, possessions, position, right? And so you want me to give you one more? You need one more? All right, 1 John chapter 2 says this, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So don't go the world's way. For everything is in the world. How many things are in the world, guys? Three, right? The cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. So look at these three areas that's being taught here in 1 John. Cravings of sinful man, Asherah, right? Lust of his eyes, mammon. Boasting of what he has and does, Baal. Another way, and you may hear it this way, and that's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so here's what we're doing today. We're here to break the spirit of Baal. And so we've got to go back. Here's the way we do this. How do we do this? We've got to go back, really, to God's ways. We've got to go back to God's ways. Culture changes, but God doesn't, right? Culture changes. So here's the question. Are you going to stick with culture, or are you going to stick with God? And look at Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. We talked about this last week. The ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. All right? Now notice the result. And you will find rest for your souls. In other words, the world's way doesn't work. But go back to God's ways, and here's what you'll discover. There's rest and peace. By the way, here's a good test for your life. Is it working for you right now? The way that you're living right now, is it working? I mean, do you have peace or do you have turmoil? I mean, are you overwhelmed and overcome and stressed out and maxed to the limit and don't know how you're going to make it another day? How's that working? Or are you following God's way and are you experiencing peace and rest, right? He's saying that you can experience rest for your soul. So we want to break the spirit. Look at this. Last week we talked about breaking the spirit of mammon. How do we do that? By being generous. We talked about that, right? By tithing, by saying, God, I'm going to give you what is yours, and I'm going to give you the first fruit. I'm going to give you the first tenth. I'm going to give you the first part. And people say, no, how can you do that? You can't afford to do that. But this is how we're going to break the spirit of mammon off our life. And then God, listen, he says, when we do that, he redeems the rest, right? All right, same thing with Baal. How do we break the spirit of Baal? It's really the spirit of Baal, it's more about us, our schedule that's being out of control. So how do we break the spirit of Baal? Here's your line there on your notes. It's just a line. Write this in there. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Holy. All right? Now here's the thing. We talked about our finances. When we give God what is his, he redeems and blesses the rest. The rest is blessed, right? Guess what? When we honor God in this principle, he's going to bless our time. When we give our time to him, when we honor him with our time, look, I didn't set this up. He did. He knows what he's doing. He made us. He knows how this works. When we do this, when we honor him, everything changes. Now, you say, well, the Sabbath day, well, that sounds real religious. What is that about? Well, you may remember the top 10, you know, the 10 commandments. It's actually one of the 10 commandments, and that's right in that same list with thou shalt not murder, you shall not kill, you shall not steal. Well, I'm not going to murder, I'm going to steal, I'm going to kill. But guess what? It also says you're going to keep the Sabbath day holy, and yet we often violate that. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm telling you, we often violate that. It's even, especially, I should say, pastors. Look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And so, oftentimes our philosophy is, well, you know, if I work and just work hard, and in that, though, there's a spirit of pride that says, I don't need God. It all comes from me. It's up to me to make this happen. But honoring God with the Sabbath is saying, I have what I have because I get my strength and my provision from God alone. Here's what we're saying, and that is this, that God is our source, not our job. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't work, but I think you need to acknowledge that the work is a provision that's come to us from God himself, right? So it's not just about the job, it's about God. He has provided that job for us, so we honor him that he is our source. So you declare this every time you stop and don't work, right? When you take the time, the first day of the week, to set some time aside for God. And so before you produce, right, you Sabbath. And then God says he blesses the Sabbath. Just as he blessed the tithe and redeems the rest, he blesses what you set aside for him, and he blesses the rest, right? He blesses the rest. So we need to make sure that we're Sabbathing, right? And so I think it's something that we all fall into. And I'm standing up here guilty as anyone. I'm like Paul, who said, I'm the of all the sinners, I'm the chief. I'm the chief of all the sinners, okay, in this area, because as you probably know, I work a full-time job. I have a family out there somewhere, and I got a couple of kids that I somehow have a hard time connecting with, because I not only pastor the church, but I work a full-time job, and I'm not whining, complaining, but it's the reality in which I live, and I have to be intentional and have to work at making sure that I rest and take some time to pull apart and aside, because what happens when I get a day off, I'm thinking, good, this is the one day I've got that I can get everything done that I haven't been able to get done the rest of the week. And so I'm just, confession is good for the soul. So I'm just confessing to you. My wife's in here nodding on the front row going, preach it, pastor, preach it. All right, so, but I'm telling you, there's some sacrifice that's going to happen in that for all of us if we don't follow, as God told us to follow, his principle of resting, And I mean, after a while, your body begins to shut down. Your mind begins to shut down. You're not as sharp as you should be. You're emotionally on edge. You know, you have a short fuse, and things just bother you real quick and real easy, and you get real emotional. It's because we have neglected to follow the principle of the Sabbath, And so some of us are running on adrenaline. So when you shut down, I mean, you shut down, right? And I'm telling you, we need to make sure that we take time to rest. Now, for me, the Sabbath is not a Sunday. Lionel Richie, who said it's easy like Sunday morning, was not a pastor. Okay, I'm just saying. All right? Because for me, it's a full day, right? So it's not just about, okay, which day of the week? Is it Saturday or is it Sunday? Okay? But the principle of it is that one day out of seven, we need to Sabbath. We need to Sabbath. And when we do that, we're going to break the spirit of Baal. So what I'm saying to us is, church, lovingly as a pastor, here's what we need to do. Slow down. Slow down. Slow down. And get rest. Rest isn't wasting time. Rest is a spiritual principle that God put in place for us to renew us and refresh us. So how do we do that? Let me give you three areas real quick in how we do that, how we break the spirit of Baal. Number one is by ceasing. How do we Sabbath? We Sabbath by ceasing. And so the Sabbath really is not just, it's not about church, really. Much as we love coming to church and being in church, and I think we need to do that, but it's not just about church and all those things, about singing, whatever, it's not about that. Actually, and get this, now some of you may not know this, but the Sabbath, actually the Hebrew term for that is Shabbat, and that word literally means cease, And so Sabbath is not a day, it's a verb. It's a verb, okay? So that means you don't have a Sabbath, you Sabbath. Have you ever looked at it that way? You don't have a Sabbath, you Sabbath. You cease. You slow down. You stop. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11 says this. There remains, because you say, well, this is Old Testament principle, Pastor. New Testament. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest. Now notice this, effort. Some of us are going to have to work at resting, all right? It's going to take some effort. We have to work at resting, okay? That kind of sounds contradictory, but you got to make effort. You've got to be intentional about it to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. What does he mean by their? He's talking about the world. We're going to follow the world's way that's busy, that's chaotic. No, we're going to follow God's way so that when the rest of the world comes dragging into work after their day off and saying, I left here tired and I'm back here tired, we're going to show up bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and refreshed and say, what's got into you? Because I took a day off, I spent with my family and my God, and I refreshed myself, and I'm renewed, right? I'm telling you, it's going to make a difference in your life, because every time you work, you declare your work is equal to God's, but every time you don't work, when you could, you declare to God, I'm only able to do that because of your strength in my life. I'm telling you, when we take time, it will refresh you. It will renew you. It will renew you. Can I just share with you that, and I won't call any names because I didn't get permission to share this, so I'll just leave this anonymous, but the ladies got together this past week, and one of our ladies from our church that went there was sharing with my wife that that she's still doing the 21 days, okay? Meaning that what we learn in the 21 days, remember I said 21 doesn't end on 21, we go to 22 and 23, and we keep on doing. We had that 21 days of prayer and fasting. Well, she said, I'm still doing that prayer of 21 days. In other words, I'm still following that. I'm still keeping that up in my life. So at 5 a.m., I get up, and for 1 hour, I'm praying and worshiping the Lord and in the Word and in His presence for one solid hour. My wife says, you do it for a whole hour? Yes, I do it for a whole hour. And she says, it refreshed me. I might be telling it exactly right, but it refreshes me. It makes my day. It renews me. It renews my strength. I'm going to tell you, that's what taking time with the Lord will do. When we spend time in His presence, get away from the work, pull aside in His presence, and I'm telling you, it'll change your life. It's what we're talking about is being refreshed. And so let me just give you some practical things. We're talking about Jewish things here and talking about the Sabbath. And so there was a lady of Jewish writing on the Sabbath, a lady who wrote some Jewish writing, she's Jewish, that gave some practical things that I want to list for you of how that we can celebrate or observe the Sabbath. Number one, not working for wages. Not working for wages. Okay, so we just stop working. We're not working on that day. Not competing for rewards. Okay, not competing for rewards. Next, making time to relax and do nothing. And that, right, do nothing. Just, all right, here's another one. Take leisurely strolls. So today, when you leave church, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Husbands, you take your wife, after you've eaten a nice, relaxing meal, take her by the hand and say, we're going to take a walk. After she faints, and you pick her up, and you say, yeah, this is my hand, and we're going to take a walk, and take some strolls, relax. Next, enjoying meals with friends and family. Enjoying meals with friends and family. So don't just, I mean, and maybe even in a home setting. I mean, just sit around something called the table. You know, maybe not just in front of the couch watching Fox News or CNN or whichever one you like to watch and getting worked up, you know, and you can't even digest your food because, you know, I mean, but just enjoy some meals with some friends and family where you can have conversation, which leads to the next one. Here's another way to observe the Sabbath, and that is seeing if we're on the same page here. Okay, reading and studying religious materials. It's in a little bit different order here. Reading and studying religious materials. Reading, okay, next one. Playing with my family. Play. Go outside and play. Y'all came for a real spiritual, deep message, didn't you? Come on, go outside and play. I'm helping you here. You know why they call it recreation? You recreate. It's recreating. God refreshes you, all right? Next one. Talking with each other. That's the one I was looking for. Talking with each other. With your mouths. You know, I mean, let me get my phone out here. I mean, this is and here's what we do when we eat together, or we go out and we're talking to somebody. Okay, we're saying, you ever have conversations? I'm listening. Come on. And look, let me show you something. there's a button on the top of this thing. Where is the top of this? That if you mash it, right, it turn it off. Turn it off. I know some of you are going to have therapy, right? In fact, on the Sabbath, why don't we just turn it off for the whole day? Yeah, I got some looks right there. I was just waiting to see that. Actually, those of you that know my other job is I'm a mailman, and I was out on my route yesterday, and my phone, I didn't get it charged up the night before. So at my case at the station, I plugged this thing up, and I charged it. Well, guess what? I got out to my first stop. I left my phone. Oh, my God. I called my supervisor. I have an emergency. I have an emergency. I had to go all the way back. He said, well, nobody's going to call you. I said, no. I'm a pastor. I got to stay connected. People need me, you know. And so I'm just saying, unplug, man. Plan it ahead of time. Get somebody to cover the bases and unplug. Come on. Yeah, I hear some applause out there. Thank you. Get a good amen right there. I was on vacation one time and about got my wife mad at me because I was sneaking around texting people. I thought we were going to have you this week and not the church have you this week. Come on, everybody. I'm just trying. And if I don't do this, guess what? I'm not going to be the kind of pastor that you need, right? I know this is a practical message, but I'm not going to be the kind of pastor you need. So some of you do need to understand. Don't take this the wrong way. I want you to call me. I want you to text me. And I always say I'm available 24/7. But here's the truth of the matter. Is I do have a family out there. Come on, Kim, say amen, honey. All right, I got a family out there, and there may be some times where I'm going to need to sign some other guys in the church. Hey, for this period of time, I want you guys to cover me, and that y'all, come on, I'm not the only one that does ministry around here. Guess what? This thing can run with, I think sometimes it can't run without me, and guess what? There's a lot of people making this thing run, right? And God's the one that makes it really run, all right? So just. All right, so let me go on with the list. And so, I don't know, what do we got in? Attending religious services. Hey, here you are. That's a good thing to do. All right. Praying and meditating. And then this last one, I'm not going to read this. I'm just going to say, that's next week. That's next week. And for all of you that love Jewish people, say, a good shalom. Shalom. All right. All right. Moving along. You guys, hey, we went on a field trip one time to a Jewish synagogue here in town, and we had an hour with a rabbi after the service, and we talked to him, and he talked about this, and he said when it happens on the Sabbath, it's a double Shabbat shalom, and that's what he told us. Anyway, that's what he said. You get double blessing. Anyway, just... Hallelujah. Don't you love church? Everybody glad to be at Cross Point. Say, yeah, okay. All right. Number two, by worshiping. All right. So, well, Pastor, we've already worshiped. We had a song service. Well, guess what? Worship is not a song service. Worship is when you bow down to something greater. So as long as you're producing, you're not bowing down to anything. You're elevating yourself. It's a spirit of pride. Take a day and say, God, you're great all day long, and acknowledge him. And so when you rest, you connect to a powerful God. And when he touches your soul and energizes your soul, let me just say that again. When he touches your soul and energizes your soul, that's when you really experience real rest. See, some of you have rested and say, well, I wake up and I'm still not rested. There's a difference, okay? When you allow God to replenish and touch your soul and energize your soul, that's when you're renewed. That's when you experience real rest. Look at Psalm 92, some verses out of this psalm. And this is just kind of, you have to notice sometimes the headings of some of these songs. And this one's headed this way. A psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. Okay, this is for the Sabbath day. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your God. Oh, most high. You're not high. We go low. We're low. We bow before him. He is high. To proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. And look what happens. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. So he will strengthen you. He'll renew your strength like a wild ox. fine oils, which always speaks of the anointing. It's not your ability, but it's His ability. Have you poured upon me? The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Everybody else is wilting, dragging into work, and you're like, there, poof, I'm ready because of the strength of the Lord. God has renewed your strength, right? Like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. And look at this. They will bear fruit in old age, so there will be great endurance. They will stay fresh and green. Look at the third way that we do this, by worshiping and then also by replenishing. And so find things that feed your soul. Look at this scripture. Y'all know it. Psalm 23. Can we read this together? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Look at this. He refreshes my soul. My soul. End of the day, this is all about being refreshed in our soul. Being refreshed in our soul. I heard of a guy who went over to Israel, over to Jerusalem, and was observing things, and you know, you get things in your head of how things should look and how things should appear when you're there. You get these images in your mind. And so he saw this shepherd coming with some sheep, and he thought, oh, this is going to be great. I've heard about the shepherd and how the sheep just follow the shepherd. And to his dismay, as he watched, the shepherd was driving the sheep. He wasn't leading the sheep. He was driving them. He was like, hey, 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 just pushing them along. And he looked at the guy that was there with him, and he said, I don't understand. I've heard all my life that the shepherd leads the sheep. And they're not driven, but they're led. And he looked at him, he said, oh. He said, that's not the shepherd. That's the butcher. It's the butcher. And I wonder sometimes if perhaps our life is as it is because we're driven. We're driven by what the world says how our life should look, instead of being led by the shepherd, being led by the shepherd. And so, if we're following the world's way, we're following that spirit of Baal. Look, we're being driven by the butcher. You know, if we say, I'm just busy, busy, busy. I'm busy, 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 busy. I'm just busy. How you doing? Busy, 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 busy. We might need to make a decision today. In fact, we do need to make a decision today. Look at one final verse. Let me give you Matthew chapter 11. These are the words of Jesus. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. We need to make a decision today. If we're going to follow the world's way, we're going to follow God's way. Let me put it this way. We just need to take a step and take a step in following God. And when we do that, we'll break the spirit of Baal, and we're going to be free. We're going to be free. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? And let me just say that this step is really saying, God, I'm not in control. You're in control. It's an acknowledgement that you're in control. So I would ask the question, let's be honest. Are you in control or is God in control? And if you're in control, you've probably already found out that it doesn't work. That it doesn't work. In fact, salvation is really what that's all about. It's about giving God control. Giving Him control. Maybe you're in a place where you really, you need to do that. You just need to give God control. I'd like to lead you in a prayer to simply do that. Say, God, I realize that I've been in charge. I've been in control. But today I'm ready to give you control of my life. And when you do, I'm telling you, what you're going to experience is peace. You're going to experience rest when you do things God's way. But that's you, and you're saying, I'm here, and I need to make that decision. I need to give God control of my life. I'd like to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front, but I would like to lead you in a prayer. And that's you today, and you say, Pastor, when you pray, would you include me in that prayer? Would you just, my heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just slip up a hand, and you can put that right back down. I just want to pray with you. God bless you today. Anyone else? God bless you. Thank you. Simply pray this. Just say from your heart, Dear Lord, forgive me for going my way. Today I give you control of my life. I invite you to come in and put my life in order. You are the source of my life. Today I give you the control of my life. Thank you for paying the price for me going my way. Thank you for calling me back in right relationship with you. God, I want every area of my life to be under your control. Right now, I surrender. I declare you to be the Lord of my life. I accept you as my Savior and my Lord. Say this, I give you my life. God, I thank you for every person who has surrendered control to you. Oh, God, it's so much better when we do it your way. And God, I pray as we Sabbath, God, that you'll redeem the rest and our time, our days, our mind, our spirit, everything would be totally renewed. That God, that you, oh Lord, would make everything else work so much better as you designed it.